The mysterious word church. The word church in our Bibles has alarming roots. Why did the translators use it? There are two main approaches to producing an English version of the Bible from the original languages, which, in the case of the New Testament, was Greek. The most common approach is translation and the other is transliteration. Transliteration is the practice of replacing the Greek letters of a word with English letters to form a new word with a distinctive meaning. This approach was used in select places with the word baptize. The English letters of the original Greek word baptizo means to dip or sink. When Jesus dipped a morsel of bread and gave it to Judas in John 13 verse 26, this is the word baptizo. When baptizo was used to describe the act of initiating new converts, scholars chose to transliterate this word using baptism rather than dipping, to avoid conflict with those branches of Christianity where baptism involves sprinkling. Translating, the practice of replacing Greek words with English words of similar meaning or intent, is the most common practice. Our interest is in the English word for church, which replaces the Greek word ekklesia. In Acts 19 verses 25 to 41, we have an example of the real meaning of ekklesia. The people of Ephesus gathered to deal with Paul's alleged preaching against their god, Artemis of the Ephesians. So then, some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in the lawful assembly. After saying this, he dismissed the assembly. Acts 19 verses 32 and 39, 41, and ASB, unless noted. In each of these cases, ekklesia is correctly translated assembly since it means citizens called to be a governing assembly. In Acts 7 verse 38 and Hebrews 2 verse 12, ekklesia is translated as congregation, also a good interpretation. The rest of the 114 times that ekklesia is used in the New Testament, it has been replaced with church or churches, replaced, because the word church is neither a translation nor a transliteration of the original word. Someone chose to use church rather than the meaning of the Greek word or its letters. Here begins the mystery. Old English Bible's renditions of Matthew 16:18. John Wycliffe, of Yorkshire, England, translated the first Bible into English in 1382, not from the original languages, but from the Latin. Therein, Wycliffe translated the Latin word ecclesium into church, in Old English spelling, and why see to thee, that thou art Petre, and on this stone why shall build a my church, and the yates of Hella shullen not how might ions it. Wycliffe, circa 1382. The Latin word is similar to the Greek, but because he did not know Greek, he may have used what was commonly called a religious gathering in his day. More on this later. Other English translations that followed were asterisk Tyndale's Bible, 1526, used congregation, and I say also unto thee that thou art a Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Tyndale, circa 1526, in Old English spelling. Asterisk Coverdale Bible, 1535, used congregation. Asterisk Matthew Bible, 1537, used congregation. Asterisk The Great Bible, 1539, used congregation. Asterisk Geneva Bible, 1560, used church. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build a my church, and ye gates of hell shall not work on it. Geneva Bible, circa 1560. Asterisk Bishop's Bible, 1568, used congregation, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build a my congregation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Bishop Bible, circa 1568. The word congregation, in place of ecclesia, is a fairly good translation since congregation means to gather a flock and refers to people, not places or institutions, but it lacks in conveying the authority to govern that ecclesia embodies from Acts 19. If Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly, Ecclesia. Acts 19 verses 38-39, NKJV. Going in circles. Wycliffe's word church, or as we spell it today, church, has some interesting twists to its meaning. According to modern dictionaries, such as the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, the word church is derived from the Greek word, kyriakon, meaning house of the Lord, Middle English church, from Old English syris, ultimately from Medieval Greek kyriakon, from Late Greek kyriakon, doma, the Lord's, house, from Greek kuriakos, of the Lord, from kyrios, Lord. This in itself is a poor derivative since it refers to a place, a house, rather than to people, as Jesus intended. Many older sources on etymology doubt this Greek connection. In Smith's Bible Dictionary from 1884, page 452, we read, "The derivation of the word church is uncertain. It is found in the Teutonic and Slavonic languages and answers to the derivatives of ecclesia, which are naturally found in the Romance languages and by foreign importation elsewhere. The word is generally said to be derived from the Greek kyriakos, meaning the Lord's house. But the derivation has been too hastily assumed. It is probably associated with the Scottish kirk, the Latin circus or circulus, the Greek kloukos, because the congregations were gathered in circles." Lydell and Scott's Greek-English lexicon also tells us that the origin of our word church is uncertain. On defining the word kloukos, from which church allegedly came, it says, of or for a lord or master, speaking of a secular lord. Assumed to be original of the Teutonic kirk, kirche, or church, but how this Greek name came to be adopted by the northern nations rather than the Roman name or Greek name ecclesia has not been satisfactorily explained. Regarding the word church, Ebenezer Cobham Brewer's Dictionary of Phrase and Fable of 1898 reads, "The etymology of this word is generally assumed to be from the Greek, kyria oikos, house of God, but this is most improbable, as the word existed in all the Celtic dialects long before the introduction of Greek." No doubt the word means a circle. The places of worship among the German and Celtic nations were always circular. Welsh, C-Y-R-C-H, French, Cirque, Scotch, Kirk, Greek, Kirkos, etc. Compare Anglo-Saxon circe, a church, with circle, a circle. If church is derived from the word circle, how then did the original Greek word ekklesia become church or circle? Throughout England, pagan religious gatherings were always held at a circle. The Druids with their Stonehenge, the Celts, and Saxons also met at stone circles to worship their gods. Many of these stone circles still exist throughout England, and about 28 are found in the Wycliffe's Yorkshire area. Many of the first English Christian buildings for worship were located on these circle sites or were built using stones from these circles. Through this association, the people of Wycliffe's day continued to call these buildings a kirk, Scottish, a cirrus, Old English, or church, Wycliffe's version, each variation meaning circle and describing a place occult and not the people. Although we can see Wycliffe's rationale for using the word church or circle as common English in his day, it was not suitable then or now, since it does not meet the meaning or intent of the original word, a reference to people. Because church or circle describes a place, the real meaning of ecclesia is lost. The better translation, congregation, was used by most other translations after Wycliffe, except the Geneva Bible and the one authorized by King James, the latter being the foundation of our modern versions. The King James Version. The story gets interesting when King James I of England decided to authorize his own translation of the Bible in 1611. The other versions fell to the king's disfavor because their footnotes failed to honor the king. To correct this, he gathered 54 scholars and gave them 15 edicts to follow as they translated and published his authorized version. This is a greater concern. The first edict was that they used the bishop's Bible, which used congregation, with as few changes as possible. The third edict specified that, in select places, they were to use the word church,
and not congregation, in place of ecclesia. His 14th edict stated that they could use the Tyndale, Matthew, Coverdale, the Great Bible, also called the Whitchurch, Cranmer, and Cromwell Bible, and the Geneva versions of the Bible wherever they were closer to their accessible manuscripts.
The king's influence is also seen where the names of the apostle and brother for Jesus were translated as James rather than Jacob. Why would the king be so adamant about using a word, church, that he knew to mean circle rather than using the correct translation? What do we know about this king?
One detail of his life that history books do not often discuss occurred before he became King James I of England, while he was James VI, King of Scotland. On the west wall of the lodge hall used by Lodge Scoon and Perth No. 3 in Perth, Scotland, can be found a mural depicting James VI kneeling at their altar at his initiation. The oldest existing record of the lodge, called the Mutual Agreement of December 24, 1658, records that James was entered Freemasonry as a fellow craft of the Lodge of Scone on April 15, 1601.
On April 15, 1601, King James entered the secret society of the Freemasons.
In fact, Masons credit him as being the originator of the worldwide system of lodges within present-day Freemasonry.
This is the greatest concern.
His version of the Bible became, and still is, the favored version of Freemasons. One of the most important symbols in Freemasonry is a circle with a dot in the center, part of their motif, the shape that is drawn by the compass.
Symbols of note. Throughout Europe and England, the circle was a significant occult symbol and remains so today.
It connotes inclusion or influence, as does that of being surrounded. Many good symbols, such as the five-pointed star and the six-pointed star of David, become the occult pentagram, pentacles, and the hexagram when encircled, and each is used with prominence in Freemasonry and witchcraft.
Does a circle surrounding these and other symbols place them under the influence of occult powers?
Adherents of the occult belief symbols have power and influence, and especially so when those carrying or connected to the symbol are not aware of it.
Would the expression "ignorance of the law is no excuse" apply to spiritual concerns too? Does ignorance of the law of gravity excuse us of its influence?
Recently, I had occasion to pray with an individual whom Jesus was calling out of a high position within the occult. During our prayers, she asked if we could use a word other than church as we prayed. That startled me, and when I asked, her reason was that what we refer to as occult covens are referred to as churches by those within occult circles. She wanted to be clear that her prayers referred to the body of Christ and not to occult churches or covens or circles.
Why do occult organizations such as the Church of Illumination, Church of Scientology, Church of Wicca, Church of Satan, and others embrace the word church in their identity? Do they better understand its true meaning and significance? Could it be that we are naive? Truth sets free.
Since the word church has no foundation in truth, we would be wise to move away from its use in our Bibles, writings, and speech, replacing it with terms such as "those people I call," "governing assembly," "congregation," or similarly suitable translations, more directly referring to God's people rather than to a place. I am favoring the word "senate" as being a more accurate descriptive of Jesus' intent, since it carries the role of governing, senate, noun, an assembly or a council of citizens having the highest deliberative and legislative functions in a government, specifically.
American Heritage Dictionary.
Even our meeting places would do well with a change away from meeting in the circle to our gathering place, place of assembly, or worship center. Compare Jesus' words in the verses that follow, and see the richness of the real meaning. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it.
Matt 16:18.
In Jesus' day, walls encircled cities and access was by way of the gates.
Was Jesus thinking of Samson?
In their plan to capture and then take Samson's life, the Philistines locked him in the city of Gaza, but he tore the gates from its hinges and carrying them to the top of a nearby hill. When Jesus calls the citizens of his kingdom to a governing assembly, the confines of the realm of the evil spirits, Hades, that encircle us will not be able to hold us when we determine to break free of its bondage. I will edify the people I've assembled to govern, and the gates of the realm of the evil spirits will not be strong enough to keep them confined.
My rendition of 16 verse 18.
This has a richer, more personal meaning than does the use and understanding of the word church today.
Are we like Samson when Jesus edifies and empowers us?
Building a church, or rather people assembled to govern, is Jesus' work. Ours is to promote the kingdom, God's kingdom, not our little local versions.
It's about people, not institutions. Break free.
Jesus called out or assembled 12 ordinary people and spent 3 years teaching them about the kingdom of God.
Then they turned the known world upside down in 300 years, teaching and being witnesses of Jesus, with signs and wonders.
Looking back to the Pentecostal, Charismatic, Vineyard, Salvation Army, Methodist, and other movements, why did their initial revival, renewal, and uniqueness dissolve into the same basic powerless style and function as that of the mainline churches? By ineffective style and function, I refer to the process wherein people, participating for even 30 or 40 years, are ill-equipped to share the joy and privileges of the gospel message with their neighbors, or to exhibit the qualities of Jesus' life. When we unknowingly identify ourselves with the occult symbol of the circle, through our association with the word church, do we also place ourselves under the rule and authority of occult principalities and powers as mentioned in Ephesians 6?
Are these principalities and powers responsible to see that we remain ineffective by pressing or subjugating us into a common and powerless style and function? Are the words we use important? In the following verse, Jesus suggests they are important.
But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Matt 12:36-37.
George Barna writes, "The church seems afraid to invest in new modes of being the church, breaking free from antiquated models and irrelevant traditions toward living the gospel in a 21st century context."
Is it fear, as he suggests, or is it a bondage to the confines of the circle? I will leave you to answer that question. Conclusions.
The word church has no foundation in Scripture, being a transferred word and not an interpretation or transliteration. We should consider that there might be negative spiritual ramifications resulting from our identification with this word. Aside from that, the gospel is not about places, buildings, or circles; rather, it is about unique, individual, and precious people. The Samaritan woman at the well changed the course of her discussion with Jesus to places of worship. Jesus turned that discussion toward people who would worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus pointed out to her that people, not places, are important. "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." John 4:21-24. Jesus demonstrated an interest in the people, his sheep. He led them, taught them, healed them, and then sent them out to do the same. He was not interested in larger stalls or larger flocks, but that they would be equipped to go out to do as he did, and so to every nation. Ecclesia is about calling out and equipping people for the purpose of governing, a senate. He was not trying to grow institutions or corporations. As a secondary consideration, this word, church, is so very entrenched in Christianity. While I continue with great effort to remove it from my vocabulary, I've chosen, in the interim, to set this word apart, to redefine it, for my use as Israel did with the vessels of gold used in the temple. Not everyone agrees with this approach.
If you do, consider a prayer like this: Father, the Most High God, as in where I use the word church, it describes and represents the ecclesia as Jesus, Yeshua, intended, those people assembled by him to govern.
Please redeem past use of this term from every evil and occult influence.
I command a blessing on my use of this word, church, as it is used to describe the various local congregations of people redeemed by the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus, Yeshua. I also ask that you help me, in time, to replace this word with more accurate words such as congregation or assembly, and using it to refer to people in my regular speech.
In all this, be glorified. Amen.